As a quarterback, I love sports. But sometimes when I get hit on my blind side, front side, and put on my backside, I wonder, is Sport Clips better than sports? Because Sport Clips haircuts is sports on TV, plus a relaxing haircut, hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo, which is better than sports plus Sport Clips. It's a game changer. Check in online at sportclips.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And this week, I have another great guest on the podcast, Scott Kujak. He's a guy that actually found me. He did a podcast on me, and the more I learned about him, I wanted to return the favor and dig in more about his life, because he has a podcast called The Underdog, which to me is very similar in theme to what we do here at Finding Your Summit. Before we get going, though, Scott, I wanted to read a quote that I came across that it was inspiring to me. It's called, "Motivation gets you going, inspiration keeps you going." And I think that always turns back to the why of why we actually do certain things and don't quit, we don't give up, and we want to get into that with you today. So first of all, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of things I think we have in common. The thing that we don't have in common, I don't think we're the same age, but at the same time, we both experienced some different things in life that have knocked us off our block. We've had to come back. I want to start with, not necessarily in this order, but I know that you were a heck of a football player back in the day, back in Florida, and you were the quarterback, you're the captain, you know, everything was going right for you. And as we kind of build this story here, you went off to, I believe, Eastern Illinois to play ball. So tell me a little bit more about that, what that experience was like, because after a year, you decided to transfer to TCU.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, we can definitely dive into that aspect of my story. Football is really important to me, as I know it's important to you. Although I didn't have nearly the amount of success that you had in high school, college, etc. I did enjoy playing football, and I pursued it in high school to go to college. So coming out of high school, I actually wanted to go to Texas Christian University off the bat. Yep. And I had a partial academic scholarship, and I had a preferred walk-on position on the team. However, I grew up in an impoverished area in Florida, and just with my own financial circumstances and my family dynamics, I was not able to attend TCU and cover the rest of the tuition. So I went to Eastern Illinois University, where I had a full ride offer, and went there, played quarterback. I actually was backup for Jimmy Garoppolo, who is the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers right now. And they're off to a really hot start this season. So I did that for a year and had a ton of fun. And although I love the football team, I love the guys, I realized that was not where I wanted to be for 4 years in the middle of small town Illinois, in the middle of a cornfield. I just wanted something that challenged me a bit more academically. And I always just had a dream of playing in a big time college football atmosphere. I spoke with my mom and said at the end of the semester, I said, "Hey, I want to transfer to TCU. Honestly, I don't care how much student debt I go into. This is my dream and I want to live it to the fullest." So I transferred to TCU, played a couple years of football there. Was, you know, just a walk-on. I would have played at Eastern Illinois, but at TCU, I didn't touch the field. I was just on the team and, you know, had highs and lows with the program, just like I did in school. And overall, I'm thankful I transferred to TCU because it was a great experience. I love that school. I love Fort Worth. And definitely part of the big, being part of the Big 12 was a big change for me coming from Eastern.
Yeah, that is a big change. And, you know, I was very fortunate to play at big-time football, that being the University of Washington. So I totally get that. But I also understand the struggle, man. I almost quit, you know, when I was a freshman, and just because I was in so far over my head. And when you're that young, you know, 18, 19 years old, and you're looking at 5 years, 4 or 5 years in terms of going through a program, you just don't know what the outcome is going to be. And the only thing that you really can do is just buckle down to do the best you can on a day-by-day basis and follow the regiment, and with no certainty that there's going to be a positive outcome on the other side. But at the end of the day, for some it works and for some it doesn't. But I think it's also about the life lessons that you learn as you go through interacting with other players, number one, and also learning this thing called work ethic, number two.
Very important.
Very huge. And three, about goal setting and what can be accomplished. And you know, there's so many circumstances where I believe that we take zigzags in life. And it sounds like, you know, there was a zig and there was a zag, but you had some unbelievable relationships that really served as the foundation to your life going forward.
Absolutely, for sure. And I'm so thankful for that summer plus the fall semester I was at Eastern. Yeah, I'm so glad that I made the decision when I did to transfer to TCU, and just to have the different perspectives and different academic challenges from both institutions really opened my eyes to a lot of different things and helped me grow up.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Horned Frogs now at TCU. I've always loved that mascot. I want to talk about, I believe it was in college at TCU where you met your buddy Phil Taylor. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Yep. And the interesting thing about him is that, and I want you to explain it in more detail, but he's a guy that is no longer with us, and we'll get into that story here in a second, but really served as an inspiration for you in terms of many of the things that you do today.
Yeah, he was my best friend, and there's a lot of things I can say about Phil. So kind of you point me in the direction of where you want me to go with this. I can talk about him all day. He was, without a doubt, one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life.
Well, I think, okay, so let's unpack the story, right? So you meet him at TCU. Was he on the football team as well?
He was. He played wide receiver.
Yeah, so he was like me. So quarterback and a receiver. A lot of times those guys pair up, and that's for natural reasons. And so you guys become best friends, and that usually is because you guys have a lot of commonality about where you've been, where you are, and where you're going, and you probably still have the same dreams. But where I think the story really kicks in high gear is when it's discovered that he's got stage 3 colon cancer. And so why don't you pick up the story from there about how that unfolded and how you really immerse yourself even more into his life?
For sure. Phil is a perfect example of somebody who touches your life and just had a profound impact that he knew during the last couple of years of his life, but he won't know the huge impact because he passed away. But it's a great example of how you and I or anybody can take away the message of you never know how much of an influence you're going to have on somebody and how it will shape their lives. Yeah. So back in 2016, I was going through the worst time of my life. I was in a brief marriage that ended abruptly, and making a long story short, my ex walked out on me, and I never heard from her again. And I was devastated. I was broken, and I tried to reconcile it, but nothing worked. And I never heard anything ever again. So with Phil, he was also going through the worst time of his life. He was undergoing tremendous stomach pain, and he didn't understand why. A couple months later, he went to the doctor, and they came back and told him that he had a large tumor blocking his large intestine. So although we were going through two separate scenarios, we experienced a lot of the same emotions of doubt and anger and like, what the heck is going on? Yet his reaction to those emotions was often much different than mine. He often looked at it in a way of positivity and optimism, saying, hey, I don't know why I have this. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to bring good out of it somehow, some way. In the end, God is going to get glory. I don't know how, but something's going to happen in a positive way. Whereas me, I was like wallowing in my own pity and my own shame. Like, how could this happen to me? And I was angry and frustrated. And it was hard for me to see the brighter side of things. So Phil went on to fight that cancer battle for about 2 years. And I saw him go through multiple chemo treatments, multiple surgeries, literally had organs removed from him on the inside, and it just continued to spread, but his spirit remained strong even as his body withered. And eventually he passed away at the age of 25. And he just taught me a lot about myself and about life and how to respond to adversity and have the right choice in how you respond to that adversity, because you're always making an impact on those around you.
Okay. So Yeah, that's a beautiful story in many ways. And so when you were just talking about making the right choice, right? So when things hit us, then what is it today then that you've taken away from the standpoint of we all face things, good and bad, and things in between, right? And then it's this decision on how you're going to react and get back on the horse, right? And so I guess, again, same question is, what's the biggest thing for you that you walked away from as it relates to things he taught you about dealing with adversity?
It's that you can always bring something good out of it. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Cancer, someone dies in a car accident, you get walked out on, you have a devastating sports injury. No matter what the pain is that you face, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, you can respond in a way that makes a positive impact on the world. And that's kind of the focus that you have now with your podcast, right, Mark? And that I do with Underdog, is that we interview people who have gone through the absolute worst situations that no one would ever wish on their worst enemy. Yet 99% of the population who goes through situations like that just turns into, or doesn't become a better person because of it. They kind of go into a negative cycle and leads to depression or drug use or whatever. But these people have decided to respond in a way that enriches their life, that they're thankful for the adversity. And in fact, they actually, a lot of times I ask them the question at the end of the show is, would you change anything? Would you go back and change those events that happened to you? And a lot of them say no, even though they went through the absolute worst. They say no, because I've become a better, wiser, stronger person because of it. And my perspective on life has changed. So I think that's the thing that I would take away, is that no matter what happens to you, you could always bring good out of a situation and make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah. You know, it's so the similarities is you had your now ex walk out on you, and then there was no communication at all. Just period, you know, like you're clotheslined, right? And then when you wake up, you're just like, you're looking for answers and there's no answers. There's just, cause there's no communication, and then poof, off it goes. And so I think, you know, when you're trying to react to things, sometimes it's harder when there's somebody else that you're trying to, at least whether it's good news or bad news, at least if you're being communicated with in a certain way, then it can at least, you know, start to understand or start to deal with things. I think in the case of Phil, you know, even though he had a horrible diagnosis with ultimately a bad outcome, he was there with the doctors, with guys like you, his family, they're fighting it. And so I'm sure he was asking the questions of why me, but there, at least there was communication flow going back and forth. When I was going through my thing, you know, I said similar to you. And again, my thing is I'm now divorced, for anybody who doesn't know that by this point in time. And after 24 years of marriage and knowing her for 30 years, you're going, you know, how could this be? This is literally impossible, like, that this has happened to me. But it did, right? And mm-hmm. to your point, there's this whole thing about having to go through the pain and come out the other side. And one of the things that has been my almost like my remedy for my part of my healing outside of time is doing these podcasts. Because you're right, like the Underdog podcast, like Finding Your Summit podcast, I've done 125, 30 of these now. And each one has some incredible story. And through those incredible stories, there's always some glimmer of hope and how they overcame. And it's put everything in perspective for me about the way I've seen the world and the way I've made better choices. And I think you're right. I for sure have become a better person because of the adversity that I've come through. Not because I'm a better person, but because I've tried to learn and I've read books and I've listened to a zillion podcasts and audio tapes about the different things that other people have had to go through. And I don't know, it's just at the end of the day, it seems like that has been the magic tonic for me getting to, or at least helping me to get to the other side. And I'm still on my growth pattern. You know, I mean, it's just trajectory. I'm not there, but, you know, we all have our own timeline as we go, but so now, you know, again, unfortunately your best friend, Phil, he passes away. And I went back on to kind of reviewing some of your podcasts you'd done, and very brilliant thing that you did. And I don't know if this was part of the inspiration, but Phil Taylor was your first podcast that you did.
Yeah.
So what was that like? I guess, well, before you even tell me what that was like, tell me what inspired the podcast to go? I mean, you're now you're walking around, you're probably saying, you know, I can't believe this. Why, how did this happen to me? How did this happen to him? And now you come up with this idea to do a podcast.
Yeah, I'll definitely go into what inspired me to do podcasts. First, I want to touch upon one of those things that you said in terms of how it helps you and I to interview other guests.
Yeah.
It's kind of therapeutic to us. And one of the things I wrote down while you were talking was common ground. I think it lays a nice foundation of common ground between us and whoever we interview across the world, because we realize no matter how big or how small that name is of the person that we're interviewing, there are very common emotions that we all go through no matter what the situation is. We can empathize with them. And then we realize, hey, what I went through maybe compares or doesn't compare at all to what another person went through. Like they had it way worse and yet they responded in a much more positive way. And I can try to emulate that. Yeah. And creating that common ground is also kind of what inspired the podcast. As I was going through my struggles and my hard time, I continued to watch Phil, and Phil continued to respond with adversity after every chemo treatment, after his body withering away, after each surgery. And each time he found out the cancer was not going away, it was in fact coming back stronger and more aggressive. He decided to say and to show to his friends and family that I'm going to live a life that's worth living in spite of the cancer that I have. And that really inspired me because I thought, I watched him, I said, if Phil can respond to this way at 23, 24 years old with his entire life to look forward to, and he can look at cancer in the face and say, I'm not scared of you and I'm going to take a step forward and continue to live my life, then I can do the same with my situation and I can bring good out of it and I can help others just like he was helping me and he was helping tons of other family and friends. And that's what inspired the podcast. I thought, man, he's had such an immediate impact on his circle of friends and family. What if I got his message out there to the broader public? How do I do that? And I thought of podcasts because I listen to a lot of podcasts, especially when I drive. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to just interview Phil and be done with it. Why don't I interview people who have overcome many different types of adversity? Because again, we can't all relate to having something. I can't relate to having cancer. I've never had it, thankfully. But I can relate to those feelings of hopelessness and despair that come with a diagnosis like cancer. And so I just wanted to inspire others throughout the world that you can overcome your adversity and you can become a better person because of it.
Let's stay on Phil one more minute, then we'll move off that. Talk to me about 9,474.
Yeah, so that's the 9474 Foundation, which was formed in Phil's honor and his memory. Yeah. It's actually called that because he lived 9,474 days on Earth, and it's a new nonprofit that formed probably a few months ago, and they're just getting into the swing of things, trying to kick off some fundraising, etc. But what they do, that mission focuses specifically on young, mid 20-year-olds who are fresh out of college, who are diagnosed with cancer, but really don't have a way of paying for it. If you think about it, there's a lot of money that gets poured into research or helping children cancer patients or the elderly, et cetera. But if you're in that 20, 25-year-old age range, you don't have a career established. You don't have funds saved up. You're probably in a massive amount of student debt. And it's really hard to pay those medical bills, or it's really hard to find insurance plans that will take on whatever diagnosis that you have and have good rates, et cetera. So that nonprofit specifically was formed to help people like Phil who are in a position where it's difficult to pay for medical bills due to cancer.
Mm. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, as you said before, you know, not only does his voice live on through your podcast, which is great, and but also this foundation, 9,474, which represent the days of his life, moves in that direction as well to carry on his legacy and what he stood for. So that's awesome. And I'm sure you're behind much of that. So I want to jump into your podcast just a little bit, because again, I think rather than just stay focused on some of the things that you've overcome, I want to kind of go back and forth and talk about some of our different podcasts that we have. And one of the guys that I was really inspired for, and I was literally in tears when I was watching this video that I saw on YouTube, was Chris Norton. And Chris, well, I want you to set it up, but Chris is a guy that has been on my pod, been on your pod. He's a guy that, just like you and I, was a former football player, was off in college. He was young, and then he had this horrific accident. You want to pick it up?
Yeah, I sure will. Chris, actually, one of his PR people reached out to me, and when I read about his story, I said, oh my gosh, yeah, he's got to come on the show. Chris was playing football in college, just like you and I. He was at a D3 school in Iowa, and he was on a kickoff team and went to make a tackle, and everything changed for him in a second. A bad tackle gone wrong, and he was paralyzed from the neck down, never to really walk or live on his own ever again. And when you, especially since we've been there, Mark, as a 18, 19-year-old fresh in college, you think you're invincible, you're trying to find your way in the world, you're trying to make a name for yourself, and then, boom, all of a sudden, your mobility is stripped from you forever. And that college football dream quickly goes down the drain. And Chris has done an incredible job at rebounding. He has since found a wife who loves him tremendously. He has become a foster father. They've adopted like 3 or 4 kids, and they live in South Florida. And he actually travels around the world now doing inspirational talks. He has a successful book. He has a Ford from Tim Tebow, which is a former Heisman Trophy winner, famous NFL player, Major League Baseball player now. And he has made a name for himself, and he has responded to adversity not only in a good way, but in the best way possible. And he is truly an inspiration, both to a lot of people, but both to you and me.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when I interviewed him, you know, it's all he has full on this fighter mentality. But he also has this rock star, then girlfriend, now wife. And he's got this whole kind of theme around 7 yards. And so for people who haven't seen it, it was really about his motivation. So again, we get back to the opening quote that I had about inspiration, motivation, followed by a super strong why. And his why was to be able to walk 7 yards down the aisle with his now wife. And make that happen. And so without the assistance of a wheelchair, and just like every inch as he was walking down those 7 yards, I mean, for you and I, would take us 0 seconds to do that. And for him, I mean, it was like everybody's sitting and as they're, you know, as they're getting married and just trying to figure out, is this guy going to fall down or not? I mean, he had no idea. And it was so, when he finally got there and she was waiting for him on the kind of on the other side of the threshold, the 7 yards and 1 inch, you know, there's just this talk about the power of love and what connection like that can do for somebody trying to motivate them to get to where they want to be.
Yeah. 7 yards doesn't seem like a long distance, but to him, it was everything. And it's a good perspective for us to carry on the rest of life. A lot of people don't know, but for Chris, he actually walked across his graduation or across the stage at graduation from college as well. But the way Chris can walk usually is that someone stands in front of him and supports his weight underneath his arms and his armpits and helps him walk across the stage or across wherever as that person is taking a small step backwards and another small step backwards. One of the things that Chris shared with me about him getting married and walking down those 7 yards is that his wife was standing next to him on the side and supporting him from the side, which he shared with me is a much more difficult task for him to do. It requires a lot more effort and a lot more energy. And yet he wanted to do it that way so that they appeared side by side, one couple, one strength, one mindset. And I thought that was really, really unique and remarkable. And by just watching that video, you wouldn't necessarily know that insight that, okay, someone on the side of you is much more difficult than someone in front of you. But that was a cool perspective and a cool little story detail that he shared on Underdog as well.
Okay, so let's tie this back. I'm going to do this for each one, right? So again, going back and saying, what was the lesson learned? So, I mean, if you want to call podcast for me therapy, let's call it that, right?
Okay.
And you know, just the ability to talk to people like you and Chris and others that go through these different circumstances, and everyone has been different, but they all have a common theme as I like regurgitate these things back through my mind. And for me, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, for me, as horrific as all that was, and that was always my worst nightmare that fortunately never came true, but what that taught me or helped teach me is like, as you set these lofty goals that are out there, and for him, it was just to walk again. For me, it's climbing mountains and doing other things. But it's just that never quit, never give up. And you hear that in the Valvano, the, you know, ESPN show that they have every year, don't ever give up, don't ever give up. But that's really what that was. And we all face those times when you do want to give up and you do want to just like park it and say, you know what, enough's enough. But, you know, there's just people out there that if you just like take a step back, take a big deep breath, that they've got it far worse than you. So keep trucking, keep marching, keep climbing up that mountain. For you, what was the lesson learned that came out of that?
That's a tough question. That's a tough question for all my guests because I just learned so much. I think what really impressed me about Chris specifically is the love that he has for others and how that has motivated or fueled him to make goals for himself. All of us, or I wouldn't say all of us, I won't generalize it. Most people on earth want to be a great dad or be a great mom one day. For him, he realized that, okay, I can't teach my kid one day how to throw football, or I can't show them how to run, but he can still make an impact. And the fact that him and his wife, even with his disability, adopted 4 kids and are fosters to many other, or foster parents to many others, really inspired me, because I think there's a lot of people out there who are paralyzed or have a hard time with mobility, who their goal is to walk. And that's a tremendous goal in itself. And the fact that Chris was able to do that is remarkable, especially walking down the aisle with his wife. But the fact that he said, okay, I don't really want to walk, but I want to be a loving husband and be a loving father, even if it's not to my own biological kids, but to many kids who need it the most. And he brought in many kids, 4 to 6 kids into his house, and loves them and serves them every single day to the best of his abilities, regardless of the physical outcomes of his day or how hard it is or how much pain he's in every single day. He aspires to be the best dad possible. And I just thought that was really remarkable. And honestly, going into his story and reading about him, there's really not that much out there that I read about him being a foster parent. I got a chance to dive into that a little bit with him. It's more so about the football injury and him relearning how to walk and being an inspirational speaker. But the fact that he's a foster parent is really, really cool given his predicament.
No, it's amazing. And just a little insertion here that you've now picked the ball back up after being in a bad spot, you know, a number of years ago, and you're now re-engaged. You're engaged to a wonderful woman. And, you know, going back to the same story, and I can't remember the name of his gal, but, you know, again, she is a powerhouse, and it takes two people to create, and sometimes to create greatness and that infrastructure. And especially when you're taking on kids, which I have too, but you're taking on foster kids, which is a whole nother dynamic. You know, you need to have both parents rowing in the same direction and all in. And she is all in.
Oh, she is all in. I'll talk a little bit about my fiance. Her name's Rachel. She has been nothing short of amazing and just filled with grace and patience and love for me and for many, many others. She is without a doubt a godsend and an angel to me. She has lifted me up in times where I've felt down, and she supports me and is confident in the person I am today and the man that I will continue to become in the future. We're getting married in April 2020. We're really, really pumped about it. I would do anything in the world for her. She is an amazing woman.
That's awesome. Just about the same time I'm heading off to Everest when you're getting married. So we got two like big events coming up, right?
That's right. You'll be trekking a mountain up the tallest mountain in the world, and I'll be on a beach somewhere with my new wife on our honeymoon.
It's all good. It's all good. So the second person I want to talk about, somebody who I have not had on my podcast, but somebody who I think there's a crossover into your world, Jim Monroe. So there's the title that you had on the podcast is Magic, Miracle, and Faith. Okay. And I think what this ties back, and the reason why I brought it up, is because you are also somebody that's got a strong faith. And I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about Jim and what his story was, and then how that has related back to you and some of the things that you also believe in.
Magic, miracles, and faith. Usually not three words that go together. Most people think of faith separate than magic, and that's kind of why I titled it that. Jim Monroe, I actually watched at TCU when I believe I was a sophomore or junior in college. He is a magician by trade. He grew up and was a tremendous baseball player. He played at the University of Texas, but he also had a love for magic and just kind of the wow and pizzazz that you can have over an audience by doing something with trickery or magic or making them guess or go down the wrong path to reveal something greater in the end. So when his baseball career ended, he dove into magic, and him and his best friend started a business. They were Christians in the magician world, which, again, most people don't think of magicians as Christians. And he wanted his magic to serve a purpose, and he was carrying on that mission of faith and magic together. His best friend actually passed away tragically, unexpectedly, and it really sent him into a doubt-filled mode, like, hey, is this God thing real? What's going on? And then on top of that, he got a very rare form of bone cancer, and his leg was killing him. He went in, found out he had bone cancer and that he needed a transfusion to save his life. And he needed literally to wipe out his white blood cells and take the white blood cells from another human being, a matching donor, and use their white blood cells, their immune system, to save his life. The odds of that happening and finding a match are like one in the millions. And yet he found a match and had this really cool, picturesque story. And it really was something that played well into his testimony moving forward in life. But he came back, was 100% cured, and then went on to do this magic show that traveled across the nation, where the first half of the show, he would just do magic and wow the audience. Then at intermission, he would come back after intermission and say, hey, this next part is going to include faith and part of my story. If you want to stick around and see more magic and hear about faith, you're more than welcome to do so. But if you do not, then you can definitely exit at this time. So he doesn't put his faith on his audience, but he definitely shares it. And he's been given a platform to do it. And the fact that he had cancer and went through this horrible, horrible battle with it for a couple of years, he now has a greater platform to share his story because of what he went through.
And how does that tie back into kind of the way you like to lead your life?
In terms of faith?
Yeah.
Faith is the most important thing to me. You know, I recognized, or I realized, that after what I went through, and the person I love the most was stripped from me, and everything in my life just seemed chaotic, I realized that the thing that still stuck with me was faith. And that no matter what happens to me in this world, if whether it's physical harm, spiritual harm, emotional harm, I'm always going to have my faith. Just like a lot of people say, the thing they can't take away from you is your education. Same goes with faith. And that has been the dominant feature in Underdog. It's been the dominant feature in my life. And I learned a lot of things about faith and how you stay true to faith by watching Phil go through cancer. He really reinforced and uplifted my faith in a higher purpose, even though I saw him go through the worst. So that's the dominant element, I guess you could say, in my podcast. Is although we don't talk about faith every single episode, more times than not, my guests have a belief in a higher purpose, that there's a reason why they're going through what they're going through, and that it will all be good in the end.
Yeah, I certainly can relate to that. And I think my life was going at such a fast pace in the past that I didn't have time to really stop and smell the roses and really think in depth about the things that really mattered. You get in that phase when you're married and you have small kids and you're coaching, you're working, and everything else, that every hour of the day is accounted for, and you become a bit of a helicopter, right? Just spinning those blades a million miles per hour. And I think that the blessing for me by having gone through some of these different things and then choosing to retreat to the mountains where there is no cell service and there's no bustling car zipping by you, is that you're certainly able to really be reflective in some of the different things that have gone on in your life and really pause and think. And it's amazing what nature, which is a derivative from God's creation, can do in terms of the healing process of you coming back and really getting calm, getting peace, and figuring things out.
Absolutely. I love being in nature. It's a huge reminder to me about how small I am here on planet Earth and how much I need God, how much I need my faith to carry on in life and do the things that God has put on my heart that he's only given me unique abilities to do, whether it's serving others or saying the right thing at the right time. Like, being in nature has helped me a lot. Being in the Word and Scripture, being in a church community, all those things really reinforce my faith and help lift me up.
Yeah, one of the this all is all tied in. One of the things somebody was asking me recently about, it had to do with, you know, how do I want to leave my mark in life? And really, the answer was simple: is making sure that I maintain that North Star as much as I possibly can. I know that I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but it's so important to me that my kids feel like they've got a great role model in front of them. And that's what, in part with many other things, helps motivate me to try at least to make the right choices and respond in the right way. Not so reactive and much more calm and thoughtful about when things don't always go right. And maybe somebody aggravates you or something, that you respond in more of a loving way versus a reactive, snippy way. So those things all matter. Okay, the third person, the last person, I'm going to hack up this name, okay, is Anthony Aguna. He was a Green Beret, right? I'm saying his name wrong, so you can correct me.
It's Anthony Aguinaga.
Aguinaga, there we go. So you can see that why I would hack something like that. But he was a Green Beret, and he also started a shoe company. So tell me more about his situation and what was compelling to you about that, what you learned out of it.
Anthony grew up in a household where his father and mother were absent physically, or when they were there, they're kind of absent mentally. Yep. They were in and out of dealing with alcohol and drug abuse. He went off to the military when he graduated high school, joined the Green Berets, and he just became, without a lack of a better word, but a badass. And he, mm-hmm. what he wanted to do is serve alongside his friends and serve his country, and went on multiple tours. When his career with the military ended, he came back, and like a lot of veterans, it's, you know, what happens next? And for him, like a lot of other veterans, he took the path of going down to be a cop or to be a fireman. And he realized in time that that just really wasn't the lifestyle for him. That's not what he wanted to do. And he was back to the drawing board, and eventually he sunk into depression. He sunk into alcohol abuse, and he was going down the wrong path really quickly. Thankfully, he turned his life around, and he started building this shoe company. It's called Whoobies. And I forget the exact terminology, why that word is what it is, but I know it comes from the military. He took it from the military. But he developed this shoe company, and it grew rapidly, and it just grew like crazy. And then he went back to school, actually, at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, to their business school for an MBA. And that is one of the best MBAs that you can get. It's very famous here in Texas, as I know it's famous across the nation as well. And I think he's in his last year now, or last semester, and he's going to finish up soon. But what's really cool about him that he takes a lot of pride in is that he's one of the only people in that class, and is in entrepreneurship class, who's actually an entrepreneur and running a very successful, rapidly growing business, whereas a lot of other people are just discussing it in theory. So they come to him with a lot of questions, even though he's this veteran. He didn't really have much schooling before. These are all great academic peers he's surrounded himself with. They come to him for answers to questions they have in their own business day-to-day operations. He's really hoping that in the future, SMU creates a case study on him and Whoobies that they can use for future generations and future classes at the MBA program. He's a really cool guy, and he's doing great things in the shoe industry.
So again, what did you learn coming out of that? I mean, that's, again, it's another story of adversity. It's another story of he could have, you know, chosen door number one or door number two. And his choice was ultimately, after making a wrong choice, is to pick himself back up and go and create the shoe company, which has turned into a big success. Right. So again, turning it back on you when you've had some things bump on you, again, did it just reinforce a whole thing about you got to keep going, you got to keep going? Or what was that about his story when you were interviewing him that really inspired you?
Well, I would say before what I share, what inspired me, something that really stuck out to me is just how much our veterans need help. When they get back from overseas, I cannot begin to imagine the things that he saw and the friends that he lost and how he copes with that mentally day in and day out. And because of how his life took a drastic turn and the military stopped, he went down a dark road for a while and began alcohol abuse and depression, et cetera. And I think we just need to pour more into our veterans and give them the help they need. And that doesn't mean you have to send all of your money to the VA or send your money to Wounded Warriors or something, but you, the veterans you do know, you can lend a helping hand to and just pick up the phone and call them, just talk to them randomly. And they, you know, they need that communication. What I was inspired by Anthony is how he found what his passion was and created a job out of it. He was, again, at this dead end road. He didn't want to be a cop anymore. He didn't want to be a fireman anymore. He wanted to do something different. And he's always been interested in and has always had a passion for shoes. He's just used to collect shoes when he was younger, and he always was drawn to it. Those shoes always appealed to him, the different brands, the different colors, the different themes, the different releases. And he thought, man, I think I can create a shoe that's specifically tailored for veterans, for people in the military. Hmm. Because I know what they're going through. I know the materials they need. And I don't want to just design any type of shoe. I can also make it stylish and create it with design brand features that we get from Nike, that we get from Adidas, that I've enjoyed collecting throughout my entire life. So he had his passion for the military, in which he couldn't serve anymore, but he wanted to be a part of that community still in an active way. And then he also had this passion for shoes that he had since childhood, and he kind of intersected the two.
It's cool. It's really cool. It's inspiring. And, you know, it's just, again, there's so many different stories like that. But I think the underlying theme is supporting your vets. And as you said, and I know a bunch of them, it's just, I can't imagine the trauma, that's the right word, of coming back and to the States where everything is relatively normal and but still having those scars of seeing roadside bombs blow up and your buddies being shot and killed and everything else. It's just, it's awful. And it's the realities of war, but that doesn't make it any easier. So
I want people shy away from talking to veterans because they don't know what to say or how to say it. And they don't want to bring up bad memories. I've interviewed quite a bit of veterans on the show, and you wouldn't believe how many of them say it just helps so much to communicate. And yeah, a lot of them probably won't go into the gory details and want to relive that in their mind. Yeah. But they really appreciate you just picking up the phone or taking them out to eat and saying, hey, like, let's not just talk about superficial, about the Cowboys game last Sunday. Like, tell me how you're feeling. Like, how are you coping with this? How can I help? Does it, maybe we could set up a weekly call or a weekly trip to the gun range and we can do this or do that and get out of your mind for a while. So I think they would appreciate the effort more so than react poorly that you're questioning them of how they're doing after a tour of duty.
Yeah, no, love that. Okay, well, listen, the reason why normally don't do podcasts like this where I'm there to promote somebody's book or somebody's podcast, mainly because I dig more into stories, but your story kind of had this crossover. Not only did you have this, you know, your own situation, coupled by your buddy, Phil, who unfortunately passed away. And then the other part of that is just lessons learned from other people that you've encountered that I haven't. And they're just all fascinating, and each one serves a lesson. And so, I mean, I don't have any end date, and I'm sure you don't either in terms of where this is going. I mean, it's been amazing to sit on this side of the mic and really learn and understand and digest and create, as I said before, this therapy session. And I'm sure it's done the same thing for you. And so, and all at the same time, meet these rock star people. Everybody's got their story. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody that's listening to this pod right now will go through something, has been through something, or something's on the way. I mean, it's just, it's one of those categories. It just, it is what it is. And it's really how you respond. And I think the more that you educate yourself on what happens when adversity hits, the better prepared you're going to be to get back on top. and help emerge out of that bad spot and turn something from a negative to a positive.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, listen, so tell us where people can reach you.
You can find out more about me at scottkujak.com. I just had a website that was brand new developed a few months ago from what my old website used to be. A lot of good content on there. You can find all the podcast interviews and other things. You can also find me on Instagram at scottkujak10, the number 10. You can reach out to me through that platform or through the website. Would definitely love to follow up with you. And if you have any recommendations for the show, send them my way.
Yeah, plus you're public speaking out there. And again, it's this whole theme about overcoming adversity, which I love. Some great clips. So listen, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Loved it. Loved the conversation. You're a good dude. We need more people like you. And best of luck on your upcoming marriage. It's around the corner. That's a bright spot for you. And you know, I'm going to continue to listen to your pods. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark. This was a pleasure. And I definitely feel honored to be on this side of the microphone and being interviewed by you. And I'll definitely keep logging in and checking out Finding Your Summit. It's a great podcast.
Thank you so much. All right, buddy. Take care. Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.